we have in the beginning of the parasha, a triangle, something connected to the parasha. So there's a medrash, very famous medrash, which everyone quotes, that it says that the pasuk, the medrash, it starts out being mishabeach, the tremendous bitachon of Yosef. And then it says that Yosef was punished because he asked the Sar HaMashkim to remember him. And that's why he became Shnasayim Yomim, because he was punished, that because he asked for the Sar HaMashkim, I think Rashi brings it in the first Rashi, that because he asked the Sar HaMashkim to remember him, so therefore he was punished. So everyone asked the Kasha, supposed to do his Tavis. So I think we discussed, no, the different answers. We said there, so far there were three answers offhand that I know. The Chazon Ish says that you're not supposed to do ishtadish, which is very far-fetched, because it's offer of havak in the eyes of bitachin. In other words, it's a distraction from bitachin. So when you do ishtadish, so if it's very far-fetched, you shouldn't do it. The Shiva said because it wasn't even far-fetched ishtadish. Okay, the Beis Halevi says because your ishtadish is on your madrega. Okay, well, anyway, we'll leave that. So the shayla I wanted to talk about is how does one work on bitachin? Right. In other words, the bitachin, as it says in the parsha, is extremely important. I think the Chovetz Chavos is in the Shaar Bitachin starts out that bitachin is the most important midah from any midah that you need for serving Hashem. Now, we don't work so much on bitachin, almost because it's so difficult. But the ma'isa is extremely important. I told the guys that my recollection is Rosh Yeshiva. In Musa Seder, all the years that I remember, the Shiva used to learn Shaar Bitachin of Chalitza Vavis. So the question is, how do we get Bitachin? Now, just to clarify the terms, there's Emunah and Bitachin. Emunah and Bitachin, Pashtas, are not the same thing. Though it depends on which Sefer you're reading. Sometimes the words mean different things in different Svarim. But in the modern vernacular, at least, Emunah and Bitachin mean two different things. What's the difference between Emunah and Bitachin?
Emunah is knowing, Bitachin is feeling.
Oh, is that like a true Lamdan, yes. Right? So Emunah means that you believe, purely intellectual. And Bitachin is that I feel, I'm relaxed. I don't get nervous. When a policeman pulls me over, okay, I'm relaxed, right?
Doesn't come from an intellectual aspect.
It comes from an intellectual aspect, but if you didn't have the intellect, you couldn't have bitachin. But bitachin is much more than the intellect, because many things that intellect, the Bawi Musar, the big yisoid, the Bawi Musar, is that the emotions don't follow intellect. Right? I know that I'm not supposed to eat this piece of cake. Doctor told me that the cake is not healthy for me. Doctor told me that I have high cholesterol, I have the whatever, there were problems, too much sugar, but I eat the cake anyway. So it's not because my intellect says I should, it's my emotions. So many, many things, the biggest side of Musar is that emotions and intellect don't jibe. Obviously, intellect helps for the emotions. You know, it's very hard to have an emotion you don't have the intellectual basis. But there's a second step. So Emunah comes first. You first have to intellectually believe in Hashem. I think we said this already, so I don't repeat too much, that the Bawi Musar assumed that almost everybody has Emunah, even though the world doesn't assume that way. First of all, because it's inborn, it's a Yerusha. Certain things are instinctive. Right? That's what they say, that even a child, that the Emunah Anochi is even a 13-year-old kid is mechuyev in Anochi, because it's just common sense and it's natural and it's inborn in the Klai Yisrael. It's born with us. There are people that don't believe that's because their tithe is pushing out, but it's a natural thing, Emunah. But the Bitachin is very difficult. Bitachin is a much harder madrega. Anochi is not so hard to believe intellectually, but to have the hargosha that you're relaxed, right? I mean, I give the simple example, when I put a, go buy myself a chocolate in the candy machine and I lose my money, which happens very often, you know, so I get all upset. I want my chocolate. Now, if I had bitachin, I would say there, shamayim, right? So you see, that's for his stupidity, for chocolate. You know, so in a shorty, when I say, when the policeman pulls me over, or if I get mugged, or if something else happens, if chas v'shalom that I'm not happy about, I get all upset, you know, that's a chisarin of bitachin. The real tzaddik, you know, something terrible happens to him, he says, gam zuta taiva, right? Gam zuta taiva means that Hashem wants it to happen, obviously there's a cheshbon, it's for good. That's real bitachin. That's the high, very high madrega, to be able to say in everything, gam zuta taiva, to be relaxed, not to be nervous. But, okay, we don't, in one hand, it's such a high madrega that we try and substitute other things. But the ma'aseh, we should know how to work on bitachin. A little bit we should work on it. More maybe, okay. So there's a sefer here. It looks like you talk about it. It's called Prakim Be'emunah Bitachin. Oh, sounds like you should probably talk about it. Anyway, he brings here, these are things from Rav Chatzkel Levinson. So he brings here from a sefer, Hakol Adon Hakol. Anyone know the name? Everyone know the sefer, Hakol Adon Hakol? I'll give you a hint. It really was written in English.
All for the boss.
All for the boss. He's quoting all for the boss, except he quotes in Hebrew. I called out and I called. So he says as follows. Kishigvuzug Amerikayim, may Avrecha Yeshiva Mir Bepodin, Omdu Lakser Base of America. When there was a couple, American couple, who were married, who were learning in the Mir Yeshiva in Poland. I assume, especially if it's coming from Wolf and the boss, I assume he's referring to Rav Scheinberg, because Rav Scheinberg, he's one of the stars of Wolf and the boss, right? That was her brother-in-law. And he learned in Poland with his wife. They were in Poland. So, in the Mir Yeshiva. So I'm assuming that's what it's talking about. It doesn't say for fairness to Rav Scheinberg, but I'm assuming so. So when this couple was leaving the Mir Yeshiva and going back to America. So it's very clear that Rav Chatzko hated America. This is the whole thing here about how Rav Chatzko ran away when he came to America after Shanghai, and he kept on, he was very much against America. Finally he left and went to Israel. He basically said that you can, all America, all everything you learned in Musar you can lose in America. Part of the reason is because America is very much into Gashmias. And part of the reason is because America is very much into business. And business is the opposite of bitachin, right? Because, you know, you go to work, so everything is kochei v'otzem yadi. You do this, you do that, you do this, you do that. So, you know, so everything is, in a sense, in business, you know, Hashem doesn't play a role in most people's minds. But anyway, so when this Zuga was going to America, so he came to the Mashkiach. So he told them, and this is a quote, Safagdim harbe tar meshach yosem mimor. You learned a great deal in the mirror. Eich tuchol yos betuchim, how can you be guaranteed, shachain tesher etchem betocha b'amerika g'dayra, that you won't lose what you gained in the mirror when you go back to America. Oh, so here's the Eitzah. Aleichem lechapes es hashgacha b'chol shlah b'chayim. You have to see the hashgacha pratis in everything in life. Alkol tzar v'tzashal, in every step. Dabar zeh yishmor amunoskim v'tzar haskim. So we said, Rav Chatzkel said that it's extremely important to see hashgacha pratis. Hashgacha pratis, because that's what gives us a bitachin. When you see, right, it was last week's parsha. It says that when Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim, so Rashi says that Hashem, as the pasuk says, they sold him to a caravan, and the caravan was carrying spices. So Rashi says that this was to show you the chesed of Hashem with a tzaddik, that normally the caravans carry bad smelling things. They carry tar and other things that have a bad smell. But here, Hashem made a nace, not a nace, but a shkacha prat, it's unlikely. Shkacha prat means things happen unlikely. That doesn't have to be a nace nigla. That the caravan that was carrying Yosef was carrying spices. So the whole way down to Mitzrayim, Yosef got the advantage of smelling spices. So everyone asked the Gasha, you think Yosef cared, had a good smell? This is, you know, his brother has just tried to kill him. His brother has sold him down to slavery. He's going to be a slave in Mitzrayim. This is like the worst day in his life. Good smell. You know, like, who cares? So the basic part that many people say, I heard this from in Eretz Yisrael from one of the Gedolei HaDor, is that it was like the idea of seeing Hashgacha Pratis. When you see Hashgacha Pratis in something trivial, it's a reminder that Hashem's with you. And that gives you a tremendous chizik. So the fact that Hashem made a Hashgacha Pratis, instead of smelling tar, I'm smelling something good. Hashem did that. What? It helps be talking and it gives you happiness. Yosef's in this terrible situation. There's a certain hargosha a person can have that Hashem, you know, threw me out. You know, now I'm thrown to the wolves. I remember this Gadol said that gave the mashal that a child has to go to an operation. And the child is so scared and screaming. And then the parents, they don't let the parents into the operating room. But then there's a little window. And the child looks and he sees his parents looking in through the window. Oh, he's relaxed. That was just the Gadol's mashal. He says, when you see that, when Yosef saw the Hashgacha Pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's relaxed. I mean, Hashem, I'm not going down to Mitzrayim being sent to the wolves. Hashem's with me. Hashem's calling the shots. Hashem made a Hashgacha Pratis, and it should be a good smell. So that means he's controlling things. Okay, so he'll control everything else. I don't have to worry. Hashgacha Pratis, when you notice Hashgacha Pratis, even in something trivial, it gives a person a chizik. This is what Rav Chatzko is saying, that you have to notice Hashgacha Pratis in the small little things. I'll call Tsar Vishal. And little things. I think I told the guys last year I was by Rav Shadron. He was saying a shmooze. He gave a shmooze in his, whatever he gave in his house. He said a shmooze. And it was and he opened up a sefer. And it opened up to the right place. So if that happened to me, what would I say? Nothing. Okay. Well, Baruch Hashem. So Rav Shadron stops in the middle of the shmooze. He says, Hashgacha Pratis. The sefer opened up, right when I opened it up, to the right place. And he says, not only that, this is the third time today. Amazing Hashgacha Pratis. He says, when you see Hashgacha Pratis, you got to stop. And you got to notice it. Because Hashgacha Pratis is teaching you something, right? So if I just say, you know, okay, the luck of the Irishman. Okay, you know, I opened up the right place. Oh, well, how lucky. Right? So then you're missing out the whole lesson of Hashgacha Pratis. The whole lesson of Hashgacha Pratis is to make you to hear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of the little things. Kavachoymer is in control of the big things. So if the sefer opens up to the right place, and according to the laws of nature, that's not supposed to happen, and yet it did happen, so it's not a fluke. It's a shkacha, right? The odds are, you take out a Gemara, you open it up, and it's 500 pages. You open up the right page. It's a little bit of, it's a shkacha. It's not probable, especially if it happened more than once in the day. So you're getting a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. Oh, that gives you a tremendous chizik. Now, Rav Pleshinsky, I said this, I think, also last year, but he said a very big chiddush, that Hashgacha Pratis does not only have to be for good things. Hashgacha Pratis is also bad things. The Hashgacha Pratis is a siman that Hashem runs the show. So anytime something happens against the norm, that means Hashem's running the show. And especially when it's with Klal Yisrael, because the pshat is that Klal Yisrael, we believe, Hashem treats them differently than the Goyim. Goyim follow the laws of nature because they're not so important, so to speak. So, okay. So they follow the laws of nature. But Klal Yisrael is like Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu's child. So a child is treated special. Sometimes he gets extra reward, and sometimes he gets extra punishment. So Rav Pashinsky said, I remember him saying, that the greatest sign of Hashgacha Pratis was the Shoah. Because that was such a crazy fluke that it made no sense that Klal Yisrael should go ahead. He used to say always, I don't want to get into this, that Germany lost World War II because it was too busy killing the Jews. So it says that goes like a crazy fluke. Why would Germany be so interested? They're fighting World War II, and instead, you know, the question of dominating the world, and you know, either you become the most powerful person in the world, or you know, you get destroyed. And instead, they wasted a tremendous amount of energy and resources, and they delayed many things. They said they delayed their attack into Russia, which is what caused them to lose the war, because they were too busy killing the Jews along the way. So he felt that was amazing. Hashgacha Pratis, as Hashem put an irrational hatred of the Jews and the Germans, that was more important than their own lives almost. So that's Hashgacha Pratis. He used to say, what did the Germans have against my mother and father? They had to go search them out in some dinky little village, and there was no roads. You had to go by horse, or you couldn't drive by a car to get to his parents' village, and they had to go search for them to get them to kill them. He says Hashgacha Pratis. So Hashgacha Pratis is anytime something happens, small, large, big, good or bad, when something happens that against the laws of nature, it's a sign. And I said it before, I'm gonna say it again, that the greatest by the Jews is either they're on the bottom or on the top. Right? Either they're the Shoah, they were about the dirt of the world. No country would take them in. And then right after the Shoah, you know, they're on top of the world. And everyone knows that Jews control America, right? They have all the money, and then they're all the, you know, that's what everyone says. You know, and what?
It's true.
Yeah. Okay. And the fact that Rav Zuckman used to quote Rav Volba that said that the fact that the Jews control Israel slugs up. He said everything in the Catholic religion. He said we don't know anything about the Catholic religion because the Jews are supposed to be the people that were. There's a word for it. What? I don't know, because yeah, since we didn't accept Yashka, so we're like the cursed people supposed to be. What? Yeah, whatever. And that here he says the Muslims and the Christians for 2,000 years basically were fighting over the Crusades, who's going to control the Holy Land. And comes in 1948, in the 45, there's still the Holocaust and they're Amish dirt. And in 48, the Jews walk off with Eretz Yisrael. He says, that makes no sense. He says that that's why the Vatican can never recognize the state of Israel. They never recognize it because it's against their religion. Anyway, so the Hashgacha Pratis is one of the most important things. Well, my wife, when we were in Israel, there was a Rebbetzin Samet that was very, she was a popular person. She gave many classes, was on judging the Catholic schools. I think she wrote a book. I think so. Anyway, so at the beginning of her class, the people in the audience were supposed to write stories of either Donikatschus stories or Hashgacha Pratis stories. And she would start her class every week. She would read different stories from the audience of like either amazing Hashgacha Pratis or amazing Donikatschus stories. So you know, it's a chizik. Every time you hear a story of Hashgacha Pratis, so it's mechazik you. But the best Hashgacha Pratis Chizik is when you see it yourself. So that's a very, very big thing. We have to, there's a Sefer, I couldn't find it because my Sefer are all mixed up. Because there's a sefer called Sefer Higyonos. The Sefer Higyonos was written by Rav Baruch Ber's son-in-law, who survived the war. And he writes in his sefer, it's his memories. Other things. He writes that if a chassid would get hold of my sefer, he would make fun of the sefer. Because here I was a son-in-law of one of the Gedolei Hador, and I don't sell a single mice in my face. What kind of sefer is this? You know, son-in-law of the Gedolei Hador, he says, I was, you know, with Meshamish the Gedolei Hador, he was Rosh Hashiva in Kamenetz with his father-in-law, and he never sells a single my face. So he says, literature Jews are not trained to see mice. Chassid aren't the mice. He says, but we were trained that you have to see Hashkacha Pratis. So he tells a whole bunch of stories of Hashkacha Pratis or Rav Baruch Ber, like some amazing Hashkacha Pratis stories. But okay, in other words, that says, everybody writes that there's a training. You have to see Hashkacha Pratis. That was something we were trained. That's what he writes. It's a skill to notice, because otherwise, if you're not trained in it, you just let it go. Okay. We say like, oh boy, am I lucky. This is my lucky day, you know? Or we just don't even notice it at all. So there's a training after see Hashgacha process. Okay, that's number one. So the first thing to help the Abbi talking is to see Hashgacha process. That's the Eitzah that he brings. Okay, I just talk too much. The second Eitzah, there's a big famous machlekes in davening. What are you supposed to daven for? So there is a certain hashgafa out there, and a popular hashgafa, which actually is said in some sefer or another, that says that you should daven for big things. Don't waste your davening for little things. That's silly. But Rabbi Shayakon, who's a big Baal Pitachin, and it's also quoted, Shayakon is not quoted, but this Hashkav is quoted. There's a Sefer Bitochen, which is, if people want to work on Bitochen, besides, obviously, you learn Sfarim about it. So the classical Sefer on Bitochen is the Chayos Avavis, but the modern day Sefer on Bitochen that people read is a Sefer called Sefer Bitochen, which was written by Rav Hominer, who was Niftern around 1960. He wrote a sefer called Sefer Bitochen, which was even translated into English. And I believe the yeshiva owns it with the English translation. So he writes here, he quotes it, I think, I don't remember from which rishon, maybe from the Radak, that just the opposite, that a person is supposed to daven for everything. And it's a very simple logic, because you don't use up. It's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets tired. Oh, how many times are you going to, you know, like when an ani comes knocking on my door, so, you know, how many times are you going to come knocking on my door? Would you get, you know, you were here yesterday. You go, again? Nachamu. But by Hashem, Hashem doesn't get tired of us. Again, it's a mitzvah. The more you daven, every time you daven, it's a mitzvah. So it's not like also we're using up our schusim, because you're not doubting. It says, Hashem, take my schusim and help me win the basketball game. I'm not saying that. Keep my schusim for when it's important. But help me win the basketball game is a chesed, right? Usually we daven for chesed, right? Chinam. We say, keil chanun v'rachum. Chanun means, from the word pashup shad, is chinam, that we're asking for freebies. So we're not asking to use up our schusim when we daven. So says Reb Shayakon, and also says Sefer Bitochen, that anything that you want, you should daven for. If you invest energy to that you should be a good basketball player, so it's important for you to win the basketball game. So why aren't you davening? That's no less important than practice. If you want to pass the test, you want a good grade, and you're spending an hour studying, so it means it's important to you, even if it's not the most important thing in the world. So if it's important, you should daven also. Anything, if you're driving a car, he says anytime you go into a car and there's a danger that you might get into an accident, before you go into the car, you should make a tefillah. Hashem, protect me to drive carefully. He says anytime you go to a doctor, you're supposed to make a tefillah. Hashem, help the doctor will do it. It's in the Sefer. There's a tefillah before you go to a doctor. There was, I don't remember, I think I bought one of this Rav Holman or Svarim in the Svarim store in Israel, and the owner of the Svarim store told me that you see that mailbox over there. So that's where Rav Holman, he lived nearby, and he used to stand in front of the mailbox, and he would daven before he put his letters in the mail. Because, said, when you put a letter in the mail, you don't know, you haven't have control of what mood the person's going to be when he gets your letter. And depending on what mood he's in, it depends how we'll take your letter. So he was davening that the letter should come to the person when he's in a good mood and he'll have the right effect.
And this is supposed to help us when we see that Hashem control.
Yeah, because every time when you daven into something, besides the advantage that you're davening and therefore you'll get it, but it reinforces in your brain that everything's Hashem's in control. If I daven before the basketball game, Hashem help me win the game, then I'm making a statement to myself that Hashem's in control of the basketball game. If I daven before I drive in a car, Hashem makes sure I don't get into an accident. So I'm only davening because I believe Hashem's in control. So it's a tremendous, by davening, you get two advantages. First of all, you get the advantage, you get really three advantages. First of all, there's a mitzvah to daven. It's a pasuk in the Torah. What's the pasuk? What's the pasuk in mitzvah to daven? Somebody should know. It's a pasuk in Kriyat Shema. Una avdo b'chol levavchem. Eiz avoda shibalev. Have avoda tefillah. Right? That's a mitzvah deraisa. According to many people, it's a mitzvah deraisa to daven. Right? Could be that the tefillahs that we have, Shachris, Mincha, Marim, might be Midrabanan. But the mitzvah of davening is a mitzvah deraisa. And Parsha Pshat, every time you daven, any time of the day, you sin and you daven, you get a mitzvah deraisa. Some people say it's only a mitzvah deraisa if you have a tzara, but Parsha is a mitzvah deraisa any time you daven. So that's a lavda b'chol levavchem. So when you daven, you get a mitzvah. When you daven, you get a better chance to get what you're davening for, which is also good. But there's a third thing we're saying, that davening is the best mussar seder. Because when you daven for something, if you have kavana, so you are telling yourself that I believe that Hashem's in control. Right? So if you're going on a date, before the date, you say a davening, you know, Hashem, help me get the right shidduch. If you're going for a work, Hashem, let me get the job done right. If you start, if you want to work, do well in shir, Hashem, help me do well in shir. If you want to try and get a good kavrusa, right, whatever it is. So every time you do that, besides the other advantages, the mitzvah of davening, and maybe Hashem will listen, you're doing chinuch hamusar that you have bitachon. So davening is probably the most constant daily reinforcement of Chinuch HaMusar, and especially according to Shai Cohen. What? It could be, but you shouldn't. But it shouldn't be fake. You should, you should feel it. What? So, but don't become robotic. Okay, Enochinami. And obviously, I would agree with you. Shmona Esrei is robotic. But if you add, that's why it said they bring from the Chayei Adam that you're supposed to add. Chayei Adam says that everyone should add in Shmona Esrei something of his own tefillah, because in order to avoid this problem of being robotic. And he says either you can do it inside each bracha to feed that inyan, or at the Shmaya tefillah, or at the end. In a kind of now, of course,
okay,
you can every
once you start doing that, then you also become robotic.
Okay,
so
you can do it every day, a little different.
It's not if every day you daven for something else.
But yeah, but that's the Chayei Adam says that. The Chayei Adam has a sefer. I don't know besides. I don't think people know. He wrote a sefer called Kitzer Chacharedim. It was written by the Chayei Adam, and in there he writes this, that it's the proper that every day you're supposed to add your own tefillah, in order because that, he said that way. Says when you daven by what the Chazar were koveya, so it's not clear that you're being mekayim l'avdo b'chol levavchem, because you don't really mean it. You're just saying it because you're misaking it, and you're just saying it because you have to say it. So he says it's not poshut that you're mekayim the mitzvah, but when you add your own tefillah, so then you're mekayim the mitzvah, And then, okay. Anyway, so I would say those are the three things I got at the end. Is to work on bitachin. I skipped the first one, is obviously to learn the svarim about bitachin, which I think, practically speaking, is either the chayus of avos or the sefer mitzvahs out of avos. Second thing is to see the hashgacha pratis. And the third thing, and to remember, which remember even, you know, you have to keep. Someone suggested he keep a notebook of Hashgacha Pratis, but I tried it 1 year, and it didn't work. So okay, but if you do it on your own, but okay, what?
Rabbi said in Shir at the beginning of the year that guys shouldn't learn Sefer Bitachon like this age or ever.
I didn't say you shouldn't work. I'm being misquoted, like always. If your primary focus, you have to have a. We were talking in Edo. We were talking about what your primary goal for the year. So we said that you can't make 20 different things to work on, because tafasa meruba lo tafasa. So you have to have only like one or two things that there are three or four, whatever, but not more than that. In Edo, but these are the goals of the year. So then I might have said, it sounds what I would have said, that bitachin is a very hard thing to acquire, and it's very also hard to work on, and it's much easier to work on Talmud Torah, Keneged Kula, things that are a maisa, you know, bitachin is a hargasha. So that I do believe. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't work on it at all. And we have weekly Musar Vadim, right? And we learn Musar every day. So it doesn't mean we don't work on these things. I wouldn't say it should be the primary goal of your year. Okay.
During Moshe Seder, guys should.
It could be during Moshe Seder, we work on a lot of things.
But that's like a viable thing to work on.
Yes, yes. But it didn't work. What?
You should do Shartai.
Okay, I don't know about the Chayavav Shartai. Chayavav Shartai, it depends on the person. For many people, it's a little bit too difficult. You know, but the safer mitzvahs we're talking is easier for many people.
What about with the art school,
The problem with Shar B'Tochen is fine, except that you have to, I don't want to say skip, you have to be, thank you. I have something in my toy to play with. Okay, anyway, the problem with Chazal sometimes is that some of his examples are dated. So it's hard to get, you know, his example of Bitachon is a person who can make gold. But we don't have people today that can make gold. You know, that's a medieval example. So sometimes it's hard to get excited about his Mishon. But it's Chazal is a Gevaldik Sefer. You just have to take that and to, you know, realize that his Misham are a little bit, he's not going to talk, quote Bill Gates. He's going to quote, you know, something, the equivalent of the medieval, examples. Okay, anyway, so the first thing is to learn the Svarim. Second thing is Hashgacha Pratis, which I think is extremely important. And the third thing is Davi. Okay, Yeshikayach. Oh, wait,